What up, what up, what up? It is the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou checking in. Episode 328 is getting close to the end of the year. You know what that means. Everybody's talking about their favorite albums and moments of the year, and we are going to address our favorite albums of the year as the On Deck TV podcast. Animal Brown will have his list. I will have my list, and M Extra will also have his list with you. Hopefully there will be some eventful conversation. As you know, we do it over here on the On Deck TV podcast. Also, this show is brought to you by the Patreon subscription site that we want you guys to go check out. We review albums, we have tiers for you, a lot of stuff going on over there on the Real Bill Media Patreon, On Deck TV, FSP, and Fresher Than Your Average Pod, all putting in work over there. So go check that out, sign up for the tier that you're comfortable with, and show your support for the real. Also, check out all the latest episodes of the On Deck TV podcast on the YouTube channel, YouTube/On Deck TV Podcast. Also, go to realbillmedia.com and check out all the shows on the network.
Absolutely, man. All the shows include Full Sport Press Podcast, My Guy Big Jeff, J Hove, and How Weezy. They're on episode 298.5. All right. The Ask FSP show. Very dope, man. Nice little Q&A. Very dope episode. Also, check out the Fresher Than Your Average podcast with me and my homie J Hove. Our year in special is coming very soon. We'll have our top 10 shoes of the year, amongst other things. All right. Now, let's not waste any time. I know y'all been waiting on these top 10 album lists, man. So let's get to it. Hey, what it do, what the business is.
It is another week in the books. It's the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holler at your boy Animal Brown. Animal_Brown if you're looking for me on social media.
And I am Spike Lou on the same social sites.
Hey, producer M Extra, what's goody?
What's going on? It's your boy M Extra, the Minister of Culture, is in the building. The real is back.
There it is.
Miniature culture or the ministry?
Nothing miniature about me, little Lou.
Group chat joke.
What you have on deck for the weekend, man?
Man, I had a great weekend, man. I went to Nashville. My little cousin graduated from the Tennessee State University.
Go Tigers.
8 a.m. curtain call on that graduation was hectic.
8 a.m.
That's rough. So I'm still catching up on my sleep from that, man, but I did have a great time in Nashville. Got to go to an Ugly Sweater Christmas party.
Okay.
Shout out Trevita. She got engaged at that party, so congratulations to her.
Absolutely.
I say some old school folks. It was a good old time there in Nashville, man. I got to enjoy myself. So shout out to everybody I got to meet and the fam. What'd you have up?
Man, I called a G League game here at the new arena on the south side, the new Gateway Arena.
My Pistons,
2 Chainz was there.
Really?
Monica was there too.
Who?
So more people that go to that game than Monica. The Hawks game is what I'm saying. It was a good time, man. I went to go see my Pistons G League team. Wanted to see what the draft pick looked like. He was cooking out there as usual. Saw somebody get dunked on super tough. So I had a good time, man. Shout out to the Atlanta sports down here. Very affordable concessions too. I think that's like the dopest thing about it. It's like $2 nachos and $2 popcorns, and the water's $2. You know what I'm saying? Bottle water. You know how shit be when you go to a game and shit. It be dumb high.
What was the crowd size?
I don't know. It wasn't really just packed like that. The venue hold about 5,000. You know what I'm saying? But it's a nice looking venue. They'll get it right, man. 2 Chainz to do something dope over there. They need a festival on the south side, but that's, you know, that's neither here nor there. That'll be lit. Make sure what you have on deck, bro.
Yes, this weekend I was in the H-Town this past weekend for my homeboy Chris's birthday. Always a good time in a 713. Had a blast. Stayed until this morning. Got on a 5 a.m. flight, and here I am.
Well, there it is, man. Hey, we're glad you can make it, sir. Yes. We got an action-packed episode. We're going to do things just a little bit different. We are going to go through our top 10 albums of the year. We each have our respective list. Mine will be the most accurate. Spoiler alert. But we do want to switch things up. Instead of going through our normal topics at the beginning, we're going to begin our list. We're going to go 10 through 6 to kick things off, and then we will get to these topics. But first, we'd be remiss if we didn't at least acknowledge the passing of Juice WRLD, which we will get into a little bit more detail after the music break. But we still wanted to give our condolences, let y'all know that obviously that hasn't gone past us. But we'll be speaking about that in more detail in a few. With that being said, let's get straight to these top 10, man, starting from the bottom. 10, 9, and 8. Give me your 10, 9, and 8 real quickly, and let me know kind of what your thought process was in having them.
So to clarify, you did say thought process, which means we are not doing best. This is favorite. There
Absolutely.
Is no correct list, especially not yours, which I'm sure will be full of soft shit.
You about to say some bullshit, then. Your list is going to be trash.
I couldn't even get nobody to review this album with me on the Patreon. I'm upset about that still. Listen to this album, was thoroughly surprised by the first one. It was Joel Ortiz Monday.
That's
number 10
oh my
on my album for this year. That was a thoroughly enjoyable album. He was rapping his ass off. I liked it.
I heard the first song. That was fire.
Whole CD was.
I doubt it.
Excuse me, CD. Whole CD. Project.
Old Man Lou.
Banging.
Man, get off my lawn.
Number 9. Are we going with my 4 and your 4?
No, go 10-9-8 real quick.
10-9-8. Number 9 was Rapper Go to the League by 2 Chainz.
Oh, hell no.
One of my favorite. What?
Bias. I forgot that came out. I ain't gonna lie.
I forgot that came out.
See the nigga at the game.
Number 9.
And forgot it came out.
Number 9. Rapper Go to the League, 2 Chainz was number 9 for me.
Too high.
And no, absolutely not. And right below that at number 8, Jim Jones, El Capo.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Low.
100%.
Shout out to Jim Jones, though, man. 2 years in a row making the list.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. In 2019, that's nuts. I would have never guessed it 10 years ago.
Never thought that.
Or it just means you guys are old.
This is true.
All right, let me give you my 10, 9, 8. At number 10, I got a young boy coming in, YBN Cordae.
10?
Yeah, absolutely.
Get the fuck out.
He had a very nice debut project.
He's
J. Cole Light, Diet J. Cole, whatever you want to call him. And that's not a knock. That's actually a very dope thing to be compared to one of the top 4 artists out right now when you're with your first project. 2 thumbs up, man. Kudos to Cordae. I am very interested to see what he can do for his follow up. But the project is dope. Shout out to Pusha T's verse on his song. That was a fire ass verse. Just wanted to shine some light on Pusha T. Number 9, I'm going to go Big Crit. Crit is here. Very dope project. This is probably his best studio album, in my opinion. I was afraid to listen to it because he clearly named it on a play off of his classic mixtape, Crit Was Here, and he's been kind of struggling to live up to that billing for that initial project. But I thought he did very well with this project. Very dope records. Shout out to Cole. He shined on that. One of the verses of the year on that Crit album. Shout out to Cole. And then number 8, I'm going to go Wale. I'm proud of Wale. He bounced back, redeemed himself from the Shine album, which was ass. I'm not part of the whole, hey, have you ran back that Shine lately crowd? No, I haven't, because it's garbage and there's no need for me to run it back.
Crazy as fuck. It's not garbage at all.
Very nice bounce back project coming from Falorin.
Yeah.
I got to give him props. The album is dope. I have it perfectly charted on my list. That is my number 8
Who?
Album. Wow, that's crazy. What you got for 10, 9, and 8?
Wow, that's crazy. I got it ranked.
Barbecuing at Joel Ortiz.
Yeah, that Joel Ortiz ain't nothing.
Yeah, if you're looking to cuddle up all winter.
My 10 album is actually going to be Lil Brother.
Okay.
Made the Lord Watch.
For sure.
I have that album at number 10. Number 9, I have Big Crit. Crit Is Here.
I can respect it.
Yeah, I love that album.
Bite my list, but it's all good.
No, not at all. Crit gave us a lot of different sounds. Like you said, his best studio album. He stepped up the structure. Shout out to Rico Love. You can tell Rico Love had put his hand in it. He gave Crit the great direction for the project.
A producer can make a world of difference.
Facts.
Yes. And my number 8 album is going to be Boogie, Everything's For Sale.
That's a good one. That was my honorably mentioned.
Yeah.
All right. A little low on Boogie, but I ain't tripping, though. Honorable mention is just disrespect.
That's a fact.
give me your 7 and 6, man.
7 and 6 for me. Short record. It was to the point. One of my favorite guys, Schoolboy Q, Crash Talk. I like that coming in at number 7. And number 6 for me, Grammy nominated, Dreamville Return.
Okay, Return of the Dreamers.
Of the Dreamers.
Wait, real quick, though, that Schoolboy. That schoolboy was a little bit of a letdown coming off that blank face. Let's be 1,000% honest.
Blank face was 5 years ago.
It was his last project, and it was stellar.
But that being said, you don't follow Schoolboy Q.
I follow him on Snapchat, believe it or not.
I don't believe you got Snapchat still. That's fucking sick.
Yeah, it's burner account.
First and foremost. I mean, with TDE and all of them, you always expect something totally different from the last album. I liked it being short and to the point. I felt like Crash spoke to how, like, Crash happened suddenly. I think that's what they tried to do with the abruptness of the song ending and just the album being short in itself. Mm-hmm. So I liked how it was being played into. And I like Schoolboy Q as a personality anyway and his processes of what he talks about. So I probably give him a little more leeway than I would most rappers, yes.
That's fair. And you said Dreamville at 6.
Yeah, that probably would have been higher for me had it been less people on there. It was a gift and a curse of it being such
crazy.
A compilation.
Yeah.
But it was good music, and it's hard to do that good of an album with that many people on there. So I do commend Cole and the Dreamville staff for that. But had it been a little bit more, and this is not a knock, cohesive, because it's hard to be cohesive with 30 features.
Absolutely.
Had it been a little bit more cohesive, it could have been better, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think real quick on that note, because it did not make my list, but it was super honorable mention.
Oh, my goodness.
It was a good project.
It's going to win Rap Album of the Year on the Grammys. What do you mean?
Yeah, but it's the Grammys. I don't trust that. It was a good project for sure. I think the cohesiveness did hurt it a little bit because it took more than one listen to actually get it. Because number one, first listen, I didn't know who the fuck I was listening to. Yeah. It was just a little bit too mixed up.
Because that
and
matters.
Then the Dreamville people aren't household names like that. So with the exception of maybe JID, he's got the most unique
notoriety.
Sound. You know what I'm saying? So he's easy. He's easy to identify. Everybody else kind of just runs together. But it was a good project, though. I ain't knocking it. My 7 and 6. 7, I'm going Benny the Butcher. Plugs I Met. This is the second year in a row I've got a project on my top 10 that was 7 tracks long. Last year it was the Pusha T.
That should have been number one last year.
Yeah, that shit was fire, though. Absolutely. But this Benny is nuts. This was the best Griselda release this year, and they released plenty. I'm waiting on a full-length Benny project. Yeah, stop cheating us.
That's why I didn't make my list.
That's why it's not higher on my list, but the replay value on this is strong. It being 7 songs, a gift and a curse. Of course, it's going to end quickly, but that's just as fast as I'm going to let it run back. So I had that on repeat for a long time, man. Shout out to Benny the Butcher. That shit is fire. Stop playing with us and give us a full 15-joint project.
That was my second honorable mention of Benny the Butcher.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's definitely one of mine.
My number 6 is St. John, Ghetto Lenny's Love Songs. A lot of hype surrounding this album coming out. Biggs, formerly of Rockefeller, this is his artist. A lot of people were interested in what he was going to do. He had the Big Boy singles with Lil Baby, Meek Mill. So all eyes were on Ghetto Lenny to see what he was going to do, and I think he came through. I have had this album in rotation since it came out, and his Breakfast Club interview made me fuck with him even more. So this was a very, very dope project. Have mostly rap, a little bit of singing mixed in.
Try to sneak that in there. That's R&B-ish.
Yeah, nah, he's rapping though.
I mean, he is, but it can't make my top.
It's three. The same way like a Drake album would sound. It's no different.
Get out of here, man.
That's a fact. As a matter of fact, he got his whole style from Drake. God damn it! This rapping and singing shit, you can thank Drake. And all right, if there wasn't for Drake, there would be no Ghetto Lenny.
Drake is nowhere near as talented as Lenny is when it comes to the vocals. Please stop.
Hell are y'all talking about?
He's a real singer.
He's a real singer. Yes. And a real writer, but we'll get into that later.
This is a real list I got. Who is your 7 and 6, sir?
Oh, yes. My 7 is going to be the Black Queen that she is, Rhapsody, with the album Eve. Definitely had to give her props for that. It's a great album. She has pretty good production, and she knows how to kill a mic.
Absolutely.
I love the concept of the album, recognizing all women of color who are something, not all women of color, but a lot of women of color with different names. And the visuals that she did for this project was great.
Yeah, that was a great album.
Yeah. So my number 6 is going to be Cleveland Ave's own King Slime himself, Young Thug, So Much Fun.
Wow.
Yes, this is one of the best. Fun. Yes, this is one of the best produced Thug album I've pretty much ever heard. Shout out to T-Minus for lacing him. This is put together well. Shout out to Cole for the direction. Anybody who's a Thug, a fan of Thug, will let you know that this is probably his best project to date.
So much cap. Mm-hmm. Jesus.
I missed that one.
Even though it's not bad, though. It's the first Thug project I went straight through and listened without throwing it out of my car.
Yeah, that should tell you everything you need to know.
And then with all that being said, it's
just, you hate Thug.
It's just some little cool.
You hate Thug.
All right, man. That's 10 through 6. Now, what we'll do, we'll take a quick music break. Then we're going to get to the quick hits. And then we're going to close out the show with 5 through 1, the moment everybody's been waiting for. What is this first music break you got for us, man?
The first music break I have is called Box by Roddy Ricch.
Hey.
It's off his new project that came out last Friday. Check it out.
That's it. Where the stash at? Cruise the city in a bulletproof Cadillac. Because I know these niggas out there where the bag at. Gotta move smarter, gotta move harder. Nigga try to give me 5 mile water. I lay his ass down on my son, on my daughter. I had the Draco with me, Dwayne Carter. Lot of niggas out here playing, ain't ballin'. I done put my whole arm in the rim, Vince Carter. And I know Poppy get a key for the quarter. Shotty barely seen the double C's, I bought her. Got a bitch that's looking like a Leah, she a model. I got the pink slip, my whip is keyless. Compton, I'm about to get the key to the city. Patty, light up the seat. Forgetting out the coupe at the lot. Tony fuck 12, fuck SWAT. Busting all the bells out the box. I just hit a lick with the box. Had to put the stick in the box. Pour up the whole damn seal. I'ma get lazy. I got the mojo deals. We been trapping like the 80s. She said the nigga soul. Got the cash out. Man, we are back. That was young Roddy Ricch, my guy, Roddy Ricch, with Box. How you feel about that?
I like this song. It's pretty cool. I mean, it's Roddy Ricch. I like the little project that was coming out. It was dope. It was a dope song.
I like this song. It sounds good in the whip.
Yes, I was just about to say that.
Ride music.
This is definitely a good ride. Actually, his whole album is good for the whip. Again, this is titled The Box off of his latest project called Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial. So, yeah, shout out to Roddy Ricch. This is definitely a heat wave.
I had Roddy Ricch on my prediction episode as having a big year. He came through in the clutch fourth quarter with a very
nice
project.
Might have the biggest record of the year with balling.
I called that. Shout out to me. hey, man. Let's get to these topics.
I don't know if you did.
I called that.
Clearly. Shout out to me. I also said Drake wouldn't drop an album. I'm really killing shit. My predictions were lit. All right, man. Now, let's get to some business. First topic, unfortunate situation, man. Gerard Higgins, better known as Juice WRLD, died Sunday after suffering seizures at his hometown Chicago's Midway Airport. Now, feds and local police were waiting for Juice after receiving information about suspicious goods being on board. Juice went into cardiac arrest while law enforcement officials were searching his crew's luggage. He was rushed to the hospital and pronounced dead after about 2 hours. He was 21 years young. Lou, your thoughts?
Oh, thoughts. I thought we had a question. Nah, I mean, first and foremost, condolences to his friends and family, the loved one that they lost. Oh, the first thing that I thought about when I heard this was when we go back to a couple of topics ago when Lil Nas X said he was taking time off because he was tired. He was working too hard. And I referenced Megan Thee Stallion and all the work that she does. Lizzo is being seen a lot now, too.
Yep.
A lot of people, they asked me about this today. They know we do a podcast. And some of the stuff that I heard was I don't feel sorry for him because of what he raps about with drugs. I don't take that stance on it at all. It's a young man that's in an industry that doesn't care a lot about the talent. And one of the things that I think we're starting to see, they're starting to build from not having artists be around artists as much, like artist development, and you come up in a camp and a crew, and you more so do this from your computer, then you meet somebody, you popping, and then boom, you hit the road and you running.
Yep.
And everybody's pulling you a lot of different ways, a lot of different directions, and you just have to deal with that. You don't know how to deal with that. It's not if you're Murphy Lee or Nelly where you can see this happen to, or if you're someone in Wu-Tang, you see the first person that got on and popped, see this and then be successful. A lot of these kids, this is the first time that they're seeing this. So it's a whirlwind for them, and it's a lot that they're dealing with, and they're tired.
Yeah.
And if you're a superstar act, you're not able to be like, hey, I'm tired. I don't want to go to Milwaukee today to do this walkthrough for these $4,000 because it's a lot bigger than you at this point. And I'm not sure that a lot of kids know how to handle that. So my thought process in this is, and where it took me to, was the artist development and what they're doing with these kids and how they're running them into the ground, because stuff passes so quickly now. So they're trying to get as much out of them as they can as quickly as possible, and things like this happen. Of course, he did that to say the Percocets and these things have happened.
Yeah.
Caesars they said these were caused by the drugs. But with that being said, it's the whirlwind that they're caught up in and the reason that they're taking these drugs and rapping about it, and it's not productive, is not healthy for them, and we're seeing the backlashes from that.
Yeah, so the word, what they're saying now, they did an autopsy. They couldn't necessarily determine the cause of death yet, but what the reports are saying is that when the police were called, he swallowed a bunch of perks so the feds wouldn't, you know, seize them or whatnot, or he wouldn't get hemmed up with them. And that is believed to cause the seizure or whatnot. Now, what they did find was 41 vacuum sealed bags of weed and 6 bottles of cough syrup. It's sad that someone had to go out like that. I know we've talked about this several times. People, there's always that one person in the crew that's kind of a fall guy, somebody with the clean record that can take a charge. You know what I'm saying? If you're going to travel like that at a major airport,
I think the fall guy was Juice WRLD in this situation.
That
shouldn't be the case. He's a money.
Yeah, that's not how the fall guy works.
And this,
I mean, y'all look at it from a perspective of, I don't know who he associated with or what they got going on, but it may be a lot bigger organization criminally than he.
No, he's not a criminal.
I don't know.
Let me finish. There may be something going on behind the scenes as to who he signed with, who he associated with. So who else or how else to easily move 40 vacuum seals pounds than your rapper that's on your label in a private jet? You can do this consistently. And what I say, when you say fall guy, if he does get caught, he's a popular rapper. We can get him the best representation. And it's not going to be as big a blowback as if me, or not me personally, but a gangster sitting back and I do this professionally. I'm in organized crime. If I got to send that shit on the road, I got to send that shit through the mail, there's a higher risk. I'm not sure how Juice WRLD got on or who came up around him, but what I'm speaking to is him and that plane and that situation of him flying state to state may have been the fall guy.
41 vacuum sealed bags of weed is nuts.
What? So
that's a lot.
Just from just Juice WRLD was not, he was just a kid. He was never in any kind of criminal or gang activity, none of that. He was never a street kid at all.
That's what I'm saying.
So my thing is, his drug use is that heavy. It's that heavy. They didn't bring that much marijuana to sell. They brought it because that's how much drugs they do. Nah, and that is what. No, I'm telling you.
That's a lot.
I'm telling you. Fam. This man is not transporting weed for anyone.
Fam.
I'm telling you, for what I know, this man is not transporting weed from anyone. Everybody in the industry knows that this guy wasn't that type of kid. So this whole conspiracy theory about him being a fall guy is no way in the world.
It's not.
So the thing is, he pulled into the airport. He panicked. They see the police. First of all, the pilot called ahead for the feds, number one.
Yeah.
It's not their own private jet. They rented it. The pilot saw that they had guns. The guns were licensed, by the way, so they could have the guns, but he didn't know that. So he said they were doing drugs and had guns. He alerted the feds. This kid panicked. He panicked, clearly, swallowed the pills, and that's what happens. But I don't think it's any bigger conspiracy.
Why that kind of doesn't add up.
That's sad.
Because if you panic and you're swallowing a poker, he says, you're talking about maybe 4 or 5 of them. Man, I got 40 vacuum sealed things of weed in here. That's the last thing that I'm worried about, are 4 or 5 pills.
Yeah, he panicked.
They're 9 millimeter. What I'm saying is, if he panics and he swallowed them pills, that doesn't do anything for me, because
he doesn't know any better.
The feds are still there. There's still 40 vacuum sealed bags of weed there. So I'm not speaking from a sense of conspiracy theory. I understand that you may know some people, but I'm speaking from the fact of what I know about situations like these. He may not be directly involved, but there may be people around him as to how this whole thing got set up, as far as how we're moving and this being part of our business. We've seen it with Shoddy and 6ix9ine.
Yeah, but
6ix9ine is not closely associated to them. You're the fall guy.
Yeah,
we see these situations with young rappers now, and that's what I'm talking towards. Bro, I don't know him specifically. I'm saying that's what this looks like.
Well, that's one situation, and I don't think that.
This is another situation.
No, this is a theory of yours that I don't feel like it's true at all. And then, like I said, you brought up the guns. The security guards were licensed to carry those guns.
Right, so that's my point. If I know security guards are licensed, I'm not swallowing 5 Percocets that are going to cause me to die.
He's 21 kid.
Yeah, he's not the only person on that plane either. There are older people there to go, like, hold on, bro. We can go to court. We can go to court about this.
A lot of questions to be answered. But as far as it being a criminal enterprise, that's no way in the world.
I know.
Don't say there's no way in the world, bro, because Juice WRLD, fam, Juice WRLD, or nobody that smokes weed is going to go get 40 vacuum sealed things of weed. Like, people that smoke weed, like, I don't even want 40 bags of that much of the same kind of weed, bro.
Like you don't, so you don't know do if it's
the same kind of weed.
Yeah, look at that shit, man. Like you can tell. Like you don't do that, bro. Mm. Like that's
I don't
that's
I don't like to say shipment. It's a bigger theory than what it actually is.
That shit.
But just, don't talk down on it as if that's not the case because
I don't think it's the case.
You not thinking think, it is. That's fair.
Just like you think it is the case, I don't think it is the case.
That's cool, but I was just pointing out the things as to where swallowing five Percocets and him dying and a lot they more things that you should have been worried about.
They said it was five?
Somewhere around that would kill you. You ain't going to swallow the whole bottle.
They didn't give the number, though.
No, you're not going to swallow the whole bottle, are you?
I don't know what he did.
That would be. I'm trying to figure out something. Does that give you like more time or something? Or is that like a heavier drug? I don't understand.
Well, Percocets
it's
are definitely
a different schedule. Definitely federal. Pills.
Yeah.
If you find pills and 40 vacuum sealed bags of weed and straps, the pills are the least of your worries.
No. That's
but
what I'm. That's
the
what
pills
I
carry more than marijuana.
Not in this quantity. And when you're going,
but we don't know how many pills there were.
But we know if he's, but fam, he's not swallowing.
No, I'm saying we don't know.
20.
But he still could have passed.
Let's say
pills.
Max, he had 20 Percocets. That still ain't giving a harsh a charge as 40 vacuum seals thing of weed going over federal lines. So he could have took the whole bottle, and the whole bottle is maybe 40.
Yeah, that's it's an interesting situation and unfortunate, and I'm sure more details will come out. But man, that's just he just turned 21. So he just turned 21. When I saw it, I initially thought he might have kicked it a little too hard. I know they was overseas. I think they were in Australia or something. I'm like, man, he done shook it a little too hard. Like I didn't know, but now the details are coming out, and it's just yeah, it's a sad situation.
All the
though.
Way around, sad.
Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. Man, moving on, man. Let's speak to baby. DaBaby found a very interesting way to perform at his show in Charlotte last week. After having plane difficulties preventing him from making it to the venue, DaBaby called in via FaceTime and performed on the video projected on the main stage. My question is performing at your concert via FaceTime commendable or inexcusable?
It's commendable. it is, and the reason that I say so, baby continues to find a way, because I've said here on my podcast, grown kind of tiresome on me, but for the people that like him continuing to find a way to deal with things that come up, when you're this motherfucker running up on you in the Louis V store, or Walmart, or your plane not making it here, it's always a form of innovation that keeps his name in the news, and I like how he leans into being a rap superstar. Like, DaBaby is one of those people that you enjoy, whether you enjoy his music or not, you enjoy his personality. Everybody in there should have, yes, gotten their money back. This definitely doesn't compensate for a real concert. But the fact that it even crossed his mind, he wasn't just like, oh, fuck it. My plane didn't make it. I ain't going to be there. I ain't got nothing to say. The nigga was like, I don't know if it was his idea or someone around him, but he need to keep whoever it is or if it's himself, someone to say, hey, you should FaceTime in. You don't see that. People aren't usually that considerate when they're artists.
That's true.
This is very refreshing to see from a scene that gets stale and shows that people don't care sometimes when they're in his position. So I liked it.
Especially when you're on as fire or as much of a role as he is on, he could have easily been like, night.
I'll bunch up. I can rest. I can do whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, let me sit here and make this an experience and it's going to get Googled.
First of all, though, I hate when the private jet breaks down. That shit grinds my gears. Yeah, I hate it. Now, what I thought was interesting was they couldn't have, man, come on, man, they couldn't like have like a stunt double or something. We've kind of seen in recent memory where there have been cats. I remember Kendrick had a show and people thought it wasn't really him. Mm-hmm. They were like, wait a minute, like, is that a stunt double? Like, that's been pulled off before. I'd almost rather have that to him performing on a tight-ass private jet. Wow, I just spent my last couple bones, nigga, coming to see you in your hometown, and you ain't show up. It is commendable, though. He put forth an effort. He showed he's not too out of touch. He's not gotten to the point where, like you said, on some maybe some Lil Wayne shit, he'd been like, man, fuck this, I'm good. Lil Wayne would have went straight back to the hotel. And would have been like,
he wouldn't
maybe put a
notice.
Tweet out.
I don't even think he would have sent notice. He's just been like, the next day, he didn't come.
He would have kept it moving. But to be fair, this was not his solo show. This was part of Power 98's block party.
Okay,
so this wasn't his solo show. He did promise a free show for his Charlotte fans coming soon. Announcement coming any day now to make up for this, dope. So don't think everybody just came just to see him and they was all like,
that
would have
been a problem.
That would have been trash.
He and comedian Ha Ha Davis
are twins.
He should have definitely had him on speed.
That's all I'm saying.
He should always be somewhere around his shows and be like, I got you, bro, for 15 racks. Just send me them 15 and I'll go do it for you.
Nobody would have known that wasn't him.
Y'all look up Ha Ha Davis.
It was
man.
A good gesture in theory, like but no.
I mean, but it,
I would have rather respected him more of being on FaceTime showing me that the plane is down and that we can't perform.
I mean, he was in the plane.
Wait. So
you don't get under
now,
the hood?
Now he lied about his plane, but the last shit was theory.
No, I'm not saying he's lying. I'm saying just
why
come,
he got to show you his plane.
Well, not,
like
just show
that.
Us that.
Why?
Just make FaceTime and say I'm not going to be able to perform because of the plane. Not, you don't have to show me the plane. That's not what I meant.
Oh, so you don't think he should have performed?
No, he just said I'm not going to be able to make it because of technical difficulty or whatever, and just and FaceTime that. But I don't want to see you on dancing around on the plane. And face. Yeah. That's trash.
He made an effort.
That's what I'm saying. It was a commendable effort.
Yeah.
But it's trash. Yeah, I'm not saying he lied about anything.
Do you? If this would have been,
I misunderstood.
Yeah.
If this would have been a solo show, do you think he still would have?
No, hell no. If it was a solo show, I don't want everything back, and we walking out.
Yeah, I don't think he would have tried to pull the whole like, let me do a FaceTime performance. Nah, it'd just been like, nigga, refund. Well, hit the button. Nigga would be like, hey, bro, you ain't got to do that. Just hit the button for the refund, fam. You good?
I would have started asking people. As soon as I seen him on stage, I would have started asking people immediately what the refund policy was.
Right.
Hey, my nigga, what we doing about this right here, bro?
Yeah, that ain't nothing. But it is a moment, though. Because on Twitter, I saw the response was positive. It was on some.
Maybe it's the people's champ.
That's legendary shit.
Yeah, he is.
He's definitely the people's
champ. And it's another way of connecting with the people. That's why I said it's a commendable
effort. Like, he continued to lean into this. He can be the people's champ. I don't know how long or far that flow is going to get him.
Don't do that.
I'm just keeping it 1,000 with you. Next year, you expect to see him around?
Absolutely.
He'll be around, but.
I called him this year.
You know.
Did you?
But you're right. His album sounds like one long song.
That's Hayden.
His career sounds like one long song.
Moving on, man. Speaking of long careers, Master P continues to expand his empire. The rap mogul is releasing his own ramen noodle brand, Rap Noodles. It will be under the Rap Snacks brand, which he also owns stake in. Do you see investing in instant ramen noodles as a smart business play for P?
Creamy chicken gumbo.
Yes, for Master P, why not? Why? I mean, niggas eat noodles. Master P sells shit to niggas like them ugly ass Mignotti shoes. Mm-hmm. Master P's problem is not the things that he invests in. Like, if you're going to invest in things that make money, like, Master P don't got to put his face on noodles, bro. Like, it ain't 2000 and whatever it is anymore, and like he's selling himself. Like, just make smart investments and sell stuff that you think are going to work. I think Master P's problem is running around still trying to promote shit like it was the early 2000s, where it be them ugly ass shoes, these noodles. Like, niggas were talking about the health aspect of it and these different things. Like, niggas going to eat noodles. If he can lead, yeah, nigga, I mean, in certain areas,
ramen,
niggas is gonna
ramen
eat
is
noodles.
Still selling, people.
Yeah, like niggas gonna eat noodles in certain areas. So I say that to say, why let everybody else make the money from what people are gonna buy anyway? He should be able to get in. And if
now
he has
true.
Bigger plans for that money, I trust Master P with it before I fake Maruchan or whatever the fuck the name of that noodle brand is.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm riding with him on
Maruchan.
This. Yeah, I'm riding with him on this. But what I'm not riding with is him putting his face. So like P, give me a call.
Well,
let's sit down, have a marketing meeting,
and
I can get him popping with this. Like the Rap Snacks, like you don't do, like, nah, I'm not doing that if I'm.
But that's
Boosie, yeah, you cool. You just put your face everywhere.
But
Master P should be of a certain ilk by this point in hip hop and not have to do these and not have to walk around whistling about having a beautiful day in the neighborhood with them ugly ass Mignotti's on. Like, he's made a lot of money, did a lot of good things, and he need, in my opinion, step out of the spotlight and quit trying to put his face on stuff to sell stuff. Well, sell your ideas.
Yeah, well, I agree.
But this whole notion of Rap Snacks and Rap Noodles is to have faces on the packages. True. It's not going to be his only, he's not going
to
be the only face.
To me, but that's the problem though. It's too throwback. Now, listen, I'm not having the big dog bag of Rap Snacks with Boosie face on top of my fridge. It don't look legitimate. I'm not pulling up to a party with that shit.
We're going
to get the motherfucking big dog Dorito bag,
Ruffles.
Which is classic. You know what I'm saying?
It ain't got, them,
I don't got Mr. Dorito's face on the front of my Doritos, bro. It just makes it, it gives it a certain feel.
It takes away from it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I get it. He's trying to use his likeness to sell because, let's be honest, if this was just a ramen noodle competitor, nobody would give a shit. It wouldn't move the needle. So he's trying to use his likeness to move the needle.
But I think what he now, granted, I definitely don't want any damn Rap Noodles. But I think business wise, because it's incorporated with the Rap Snacks, it correlates to have people's faces on them. Because regardless, contrary to you guys' belief, Rap Snacks are sale and people buy them.
No, we're not arguing with Rap Snacks. We're talking about the method. If you're going to invest in noodles, then he brought up a good point, I think, as he's saying, you're not Roman's second competitor. If I'm Master P and I have this idea, I would go to Ramen Second Competitor as opposed to starting my own brand and try to come up with marketing ideas how to get them popping and get that check.
I see what you're
saying.
I'm not, fam,
put my face on noodles. Like,
but no. I see what you're saying, but to his, but what I believe his point was is to capitalize off the Rap Snacks and people's likeness. Because people buy the Rap Snacks with Fabulous, Bootsy, and Amigos. So if the same demographic, and I promise you, same demographic
is
buying this.
Right.
They're gonna buy these.
Agree. And
I'm
agree.
Thinking of the big boy play, though.
And the big boy play, in my opinion.
They don't have one.
If I'm
clearly.
They don't.
They're limited.
But, and that's one thing that I was saying in my complaint with it is Master P. Like, those people, like, it's cool, and this is not a shot. It's cool for Lil Boosie to sell his license. It's cool for Fab to sell his license. Like, Master P made $400 million rapping. Like, I was the first nigga with this type of deal in the industry. Like, I kind of got to think I'm above putting my face on a fucking thing of noodles, bro.
I agree.
Like Russell Simmons. Like, if you seen some Russell Simmons rap snacks, you'll be kind of like, what the fuck is that?
It will look cheap,
you
bro.
Seen some Puff rap snacks? Like, you're not doing that. Like, you're not seeing the Jay-Z chips with the fro
Puff?
Hair. Like, niggas not doing that.
Yeah, but I'm not surprised at Master P.
I'm not saying I'm surprised, but that was part of my thing. Like, so I'm not, like he I'm passed
not,
this.
Yeah, so I'm not, it's like. I've seen his album covers were terrible. So
he's been making these mistakes for a long time. Don't get me wrong.
Wait a goddamn minute. This will not turn into a peace slander.
He's been making mistakes with marketing for a long time.
But I don't think this is one of them. I think because you guys say he's not thinking big. I think they did their research, and he knows exactly how much they're going to sell, knows exactly where they want to sell them. And it's okay not to be bigger. Some people, it's okay. You can make millions of dollars
you
being
be
not as big as other people.
That's a fact.
I agree.
So research is his problem. Somebody told him. Somebody probably researched and told him that brand of Jordan would look good when he made the ugly ass Mignottis.
We ain't finna just keep shitting on P, though. Goddamn.
I gotta shit on the Mignottis.
The Mignottis are horrible.
The Mignottis are trash. Oh, no doubt. Shout out to P, though. I'm not fucking with. I'm not the demographic for these rap snacks. For these rap noodles.
Yeah, no, I'm not.
I haven't had ramen noodles in a minute. When I was in college, it was lit.
Ramen popping, though.
I don't doubt
ramen
it.
Spots.
Not yeah, that's
the noodles,
true.
But
oh,
the ramen
yeah,
spots
yeah.
now.
Yeah, ramen. That's a fact. He get some of them in there that he'd be eating.
That's what he should have did, open the Master P Ramen spot. Play rap music in there.
That'd have been hard.
Crank.
That'd have been hard. Make an upscale on some 40-40 shit.
Listen, man. Holla at me, P.
Real quick, before we get to the second music break, let's talk. Oh, my God, no. Let's talk Lizzo, man. She's making a name for herself in and outside the music world.
Oh, God.
A video of her at the Lakers and Timberwolves game made rounds on the internet for the outfit that she was rocking. Now, she was wearing a sweater with the back cut out, showing her ass for the world to see. Twitter was split 50-50 on whether Lizzo was out of line or not. If you were on Lizzo's team, would you keep the risque appearance up or reel it back a little bit?
Yeah, turn it up. I mean, this is what female rappers do. Like, this is the game that we're in.
I didn't know she was a rapper.
Tough. You ain't heard her album?
Absolutely not.
Her album's a rap album.
Don't do that.
Yeah, like, her album is actually
I didn't know.
Good. But yeah, like, this is what female rappers do. This is the trend, and I don't think that she should have to sway away from it. Like, she has a big personality, and if you haven't listened to her music, like you said, and you see these things, you could be like, oh, okay, she wild. But this is what the album sounds like. The album sounds like those pictures. You can be like, wow. Like, she just, like, it's on some Prince type shit.
Right.
So it's not shocking to see her out in some Prince type garb. And I think that if I were on her team, I'd continue to tell her to push it to the max. She's making her mark, and she's making it as far as one of the biggest footprints that she could make. And I'm very.
No pun intended.
Oh, man.
Ba-doom-ting.
I applaud the footprint that she's making, and I'm rocking with Lizzo.
Man, look, dude, I get it.
Be careful.
Know, the risque shit, you trying to turn heads. I'm not mad at that.
Man.
The fit at the game, like in public, that's a little. She was doing a little too much, and I watched the video. It seemed like she was trying just a little bit too hard.
Yeah, the interview.
Just a little bit too hard.
Y'all is saying it because y'all don't want to see that.
No.
Was Black China.
No.
If that was Kim Kardashian
hell
with her
no.
ass out. Niggas would be like, oh,
nigga,
I'd
be at the game with my son. Like, what
tasteless.
The fuck is she doing? That's what I'm saying.
It's tasteless.
It doesn't matter. I don't care who it is. Like, people keep using that excuse. Like, if that was nigga, nobody want their ass out at the game. My 8-year-old son, right?
Come
what are you talking?
man. About? Like,
what?
It's an outfit, though. Y'all,
that was a photo
this
shoot.
Ain't the this ain't the 80s.
If this was the Met Gala, that's one thing where you can wear some weird
it's just
left field
game
shit
for you.
Yeah, to me, that was doing too much.
It's a family friend.
She trying too hard. Yeah. I can't get in there with that shit. If I had my if a nigga walk in with a shirt off, then security gonna tackle the motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, no, bro. But I get.
Man,
I get
got his
the
testicles
concept
jingling. Everybody.
That's what I'm saying. Like, that's not cool.
Just a little ass crack, guys.
A little.
Just a little ass crack.
No. A little by that ass.
No. I'm,
however.
Yeah, she's definitely been an attention. She was attention seeker.
Because it's different when you. Some people can pull that off. Well, not that particular thing, but some people can pull the risque stuff off and it come off authentic. To her, when it comes to her, it just seems forced, though. Like, I understand the thought process behind it.
I think it seems forced, though, because you don't usually see this from
I don't. I'm going to give you a perfect example.
Please.
When Rick Ross first came out.
Right.
Rick Ross was a big dude.
Okay.
He came out rocking his shirt off and everything. Motherfuckers didn't do that. Big niggas didn't do that shit. Like, only motherfuckers oiled up with fucking six-packs came out with their shirts off. Like 50 and all these motherfuckers. Ross did it.
So you're saying that to say?
I'm saying that it didn't seem forced when Ross did it. It gave him charisma, like, and had, like, you know, he could,
see,
he had sauce.
Okay, that's a decent example.
He had
sauce.
Lizzo
does too.
No, she seems forced.
Like,
it seems like she's doing it for,
like,
the gram.
So you relate more to Rick Ross, be honest. Like, you have a small bias. You look like him. So, my nigga, if you see a nigga that look like you on TV with his shirt off and you felt like your whole life you couldn't get your shirt off look on, you're going to be like, oh, okay, I'm fucking with that.
Man, I can get the shirt off look anywhere.
Give Lizzo the same respect.
No, listen.
Y'all,
I don't agree with the Ross
right
comparison at all.
No, it's on point.
Him. He's on his own island.
That was funny, but the same thing.
It's on,
like,
point.
Ross never looked natural to me with his shirt off. It was always to me like he was trying too hard.
Well,
it looked like his
whole existence as a rapper is trying too hard. So that's just him.
That's debatable.
But my Lizzo, this is just tasteless, okay? I mean, and if you listen to the interview about her saying she liked Carl Anthony Towns, it just seems so, like you said, contrite and forced.
It does, though.
It was just like, is this lady serious? And then for her to turn around and start, this is way too much.
Now, I'm going to say what doesn't sound forced, though. But, like, she ain't got no clothes on her album cover. We didn't sit up here and go, why is she doing that on her album cover? It seems
so
forced.
So it all lines up. That's what I'm saying. Like,
it's
I don't
setting
see
this of the place.
Thank
from
you.
What she started. It's,
this is
it's the setting.
This is a family, friendly
if
place.
If this is at the Met Gala, we wouldn't be talking about this.
Yeah, it's a setting. She can be at the club, I wouldn't care.
If she was at the club, we wouldn't be talking about this.
She's walking around with her ass
out.
I'm surprised they didn't score her.
Just walk around with the ass out all the time.
Not like this.
Not like that, bro. No. Not like that. Not like that.
Not in.
No.
You can
shit blurred from what you see on Instagram scrolling. That's one thing. Ass is out.
They don't be in their house.
Ass is out.
These ladies that I see on Instagram, they don't be in their house with that shit on. Nigga, somebody took that picture. It be people around. So y'all just saying it ain't no kids there. I don't get it.
Point me to Instagram.
It doesn't matter what other people are doing. Still, it doesn't make it less tasteless.
Because she's a star.
Like, no, why a regular person doing
is
tasteless too.
Is it tasteless when Prince got his ass out in the
church? That's a show. He's on a show in front of
Prince,
adults.
Prince dressed like that though.
Right? Not at the game. He's been at games. He didn't have his ass out at the games.
He dresses pretty weird.
Bro, you think if he had his ass out of the Laker game,
okay, let's call it provocative.
Listen,
he dressed provocative.
I can't even believe
you
using
Prince.
Listen, if Prince
it's
walked
the same thing.
No, it's not.
If Prince walked into a Laker game right now with his ass out, you think we'd be sitting here like, oh, well, that's just Prince?
Prince.
No, nigga.
Because he's done shit with his ass out before.
A show on the Soul Train Awards. That's a big difference.
Yes, nigga, that's
one
public
thing. No.
There are kids watching that. Are y'all serious?
Ain't no
bro.
Kids watching the goddamn Soul Train.
I'm going to tell you what. If I have to sit behind this. If I had to sit behind this young lady.
With kids?
Y'all didn't see the meme. It was another person did this at the award show where Rick Ross was trying not to look at him when the nigga had his ass out in that fit.
At the award show?
Yeah, at the BET Awards when Rick Ross tried to act like he didn't see him. And the
he bullshitting too.
Right,
what are you
there.
Talking about?
But I'm saying people do this.
Man,
like, let's not act like this is a surprise in 2019.
She should know better, man.
You'd be, if you was there with your daughter, you'd be hot as fuck,
I would
nigga.
Explain to her.
Explain to her what?
If you rap and sell as many records as Lizzo and you want to come to the fucking Lakers game with your ass out, then feel free to fucking do it.
Nah, you get escorted out. If a regular person did that, they get
if you
exploded.
Rap and you sell as many records as Lizzo and want to come to a Lakers game with your ass out, then do
I'm
it.
I'm banning her from the Staples Center.
Come on, man. That's how you
What music break
I
you
feel
got,
like if
man.
This was another female rapper, y'all would be.
No, I wouldn't. It's still tasteless.
Hell
okay, you could have put Rihanna out there. It's been tasteless. I love Rihanna.
Hell no.
It's tasteless.
I'm here for Rihanna coming to a Lakers game with her ass out.
Yeah. That's of course you are, as a misogynist.
I'm not complaining about Lizzo. Oh, y'all are.
It's tasteless. It's tasteless on. If Rihanna did it, if Beyonce did it, it'd be tasteless.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know what thing that separates them? They would never do that.
Exactly, because they don't have to try that fucking hard. They got swag. They got sauce. They ain't got to try that hard, though. It's natural.
Yeah, man, you ain't got to.
It's a thong, guys. No, lady wasn't having sex on stage.
And she wasn't on South Beach.
It doesn't matter.
She was inside.
Ladies wear thongs
she was inside
all the time. This is
of the Staples Center.
You guys have to loosen
up. I've been to the Staples Center. I ain't seen none of that when I was in there.
You should have got out in them streets in L.A.
The second song of the day is from Fat Joe and producer Dre. Featuring Big Bank DTE. Shout out to Big Bank. This is called Day One.
Let's hear it.
Was on the same track, me and my day one. Never a doubt, it's a fact, that's my day one. I never thought it come to this, now my day one. I never thought until the day wasn't day one. We used to smoke together, make plans together. Plop down $1 billion and stay rich forever. Ball together and laugh together. But now you got a nigga fucked up. Fucked up, fucked up, fucked up. Yeah, yeah. Fucked up, fucked up, fucked up. Checkmate, 12 on the way. They send a caravan of Knox to the estate. Escape routes, it ain't no routes for your escape. They got the blueprints and plans. They've been plotting this for days. Come get your man. He
man, that was Fat Joe, Joey Crack with Day Ones, featuring Dre from Kool & Dre. How you feel about it?
Is Dre, did he rap on that?
What was that was him. Dude? That was him on the hook, too.
Yeah, it's not featuring Dre. This is Dre and Cho's album.
Project off. Nah, I'm not here for the Dre. I like the Big Bank shit at the end. That was good.
Yeah.
Big Bank be everywhere. I'm not here for this, man. I ain't here for no other Fat Joe album. Fat Joe does make good music. He makes great beats. But I didn't like this.
Yeah, this song was banging minus Dre doing his worst Drake impression.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I don't know what he was thinking. Like, but if he made, did he make the beat? Do we know?
I don't know who made the beat. No.
If he made the beat, then all is forgiven because that motherfucker was fire.
Yeah, the production was fire.
He was fire.
Yeah, I'm not.
He's trying to be like Drake, bro.
Yeah, the album is decent, but I'm not here for Dre rapping.
Absolutely not. And yeah, Fat Joe said it's going to be his last album.
I wouldn't have did it with Dre. Yeah. And I ain't hating on Dre.
That's the layup, like, though. You're getting the beats
Fat
in
Joe,
exchange
Fat
for letting him rap on it.
Like, I would have had to.
I mean, they have a real relationship, so I mean.
I was just saying, I would have had to negotiate a better outcome than that. Like, let me.
He could have wrote for
do
him.
All the beats on my album, and then me and you can do the joint
EP.
Yeah, like, we can do the 6 joint, you drinking it out. But, like, give me 12 beats dolo.
Yeah, I was going to highlight the one with Eminem, but I was like, I got to just hear Dre, because Dre just throws some songs off for me.
He's some slaw.
Nick Cannon came for Eminem head.
Yeah,
that's why I was going to.
That shit fucking garbage.
You don't like Nick Cannon.
Who likes Nick Cannon?
Yeah, you a hater. A lot of people like Nick Cannon.
Nobody likes his music at all.
Yeah, that's true.
Thank you.
Gigolo was fire.
Gigolo was banging, though. I ain't gonna lie, she was banging. That was because of R. Kelly. All right, man. Top 5. We already did 10 through 6. Real quick. Recap your 10 through 6 real quick.
10 through 6, Joel Ortiz, Monday. 2 Chainz, Rapper Go to the League.
9.
Jim Jones, 8, El Capo. Mm-hmm. Number 7, Schoolboy Q, Crash Talk. Number 6, Dreamville, Return of the Dreamers. What do you got?
All right, 10, I got YBN Cordae, Lost Boy.
That's disrespectful.
9, Big Crit. Crit is here. 8, Wale. Wow, that's crazy. 7, Benny the Butcher, Plugs I Met. And 6, St. John, Ghetto Lenny's Love Songs.
Yes, and I had 10, 2 Chainz, Rapper Go to the League, Big Crit is here, Boogie, Everything's for Sale, number 8, number 7, I had Rhapsody with Eve, and number 6, I had Thugger with So Much Fun.
Mm. All right, 5 through 1. Well, give me 5 and 4. What's your 5 and 4, then we'll do 1, 2, 3.
Last. 5 and 4, it's room favorite.
Okay.
Great album this year with Madlib, Freddie Gibbs.
Hey! Down.
5, very high for Freddie Gibbs project for me.
I'm proud of you, man.
I can't believe that.
I'm proud of Freddie Gibbs putting out a project like that. So Freddie Gibbs definitely cracked my top 5. Yeah, great album. A lot of lyrics on there. I liked it.
I heard a lot of people that don't normally listen to Freddie Gibbs say, okay, this one, I can rock with this one. So that says a lot for a lot of people.
Except for Jay hating ass.
I mean, he's just a hater, though.
That was a good Freddie Gibbs album, though. You got to be open to hear, though.
What's your number 4?
My number 4 album was Dave East.
Oh, wow.
What?
Yes, that was one of my favorites, man. I think Dave East was going in. And keep in mind, the reason being,
The reason that I like Survival so much is because I did not listen to Kyrie Chanel and all the other projects that preceded it.
Shit is fire.
I know a lot of the feedback that I've got when I tell people that I like this album so much is that you didn't.
It's not his best project.
Exactly, but I'm telling them that I didn't listen to his other projects. So
number
it all
four
came together for me. Four.
Wow. Yeah, that's on my honorable mention.
Yeah, that four is wild.
I really like that album, though. It is his debut. I think he tried to pack a little too much into his debut. He's got everything that's ever happened in his life into the album. Came off a little contrived, like he tried just a little bit too hard, got a little too excited. However, it is a good project, though. I ain't finna just shit on it. It's actually pretty dope. My five and four, number five, I got to go Rhapsody Eve. Nice bounce back. I did not feel her project from last year. That did nothing for me. Layla's Wisdom, I had to skip that. Too much Pimpin' Butterflies on there.
Pimpin' Butterflies?
It was a skip. But this Eve, absolutely not.
Yes, it was.
This Eve is fire. This is the Rhapsody I'm here for. This is more in line with Beauty and the Beats. Beast, excuse me. So, yes, shout out to Rap, did her thing. Easily a top five album this year. Number four, I got to go Boogie, West Side Boogie to be exact. Everything's for Sale. This came out early in the year. It was one of my favorite. I love this album. I've been listening to it heavy since it came out. I knew when it dropped it was going to stay in my top five. This comes in at number four for me. Really, really liked it. Got a lot of play in the Jeep this year from Boogie, man. Shout out to him.
That was crazy.
What you got five and four? Cold that didn't come out?
Nope. Five and four. J-I-D, number game. Five, I have Wale with Wow. That's crazy.
Wow, that's crazy. You got him that high.
That's great. I love this Wale album. This is everything that Wale encompasses as a rapper. Mm. He did a great job in projecting this album. I love the setup. I love the rollout. I love everything he did for it. So, yeah, that's my number five.
It was everything Shine wasn't.
If you say so, yes. my number four album was none other than the West Side King himself, Game Born to Rap.
Mm. Mm.
Yes, I love this album. It was at first when I saw it, I said this is a long project. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get through this, but Game kept me entertained for an hour and 30 minutes, and that is hard to do. with the exception of the trash record with Chris Brown, this is a pretty phenomenal album.
Man, if we in top three, it's game time. Give me your 3-2-1.
3-2-1. There was a theme for me for these. Throughout the year, I've kind of complained about people bag rapping, you know, only caring about money or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
And all of my projects, I feel like these people were here to rap. You could tell as far as what they put forth in the project to me that it was about more than them making a dollar off the project. And I say that to say I lead out with my third one, Little Brother. Mm. May the Lord watch. Being the age that I am and the stage in my life, Little Brother is probably one of my favorite CDs just because of the topics. They're relevant to, you know, growing older in hip-hop, listening to things and how you look at it in a different perspective. I think that they captured that perfectly. Mm. I think that they stay right there in their own lane and their pace, and they're very talented, Pooh and Fonte, as far as being rappers. So I think it's easy once they found that niche to stay there and do their thing at this age and stage. So that's my number three.
Your first album in hella years.
Yeah, I actually had Lil Brother. I said 2 Chainz for some reason at 10. I had Lil Brother at 10.
That's what threw me off. I was thinking to myself.
I was like, what am I saying? I had Lil Brother at 10.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah.
That's definitely three for me. Two, Young Boy, Fresh Out the Gate. First album. I really liked this a lot. I remember when I first put it on and was thoroughly impressed from the intro to the end as far as the subject matter, the features, what he was talking about and not mumble rapping per se. And that's why I began Cordae, Lost Boy. One of my favorite albums of the year. I can listen to it straight through. Family Matters, standout track for me. Mm. Just seeing someone his age giving perspective on how it has been becoming famous and how he deals with his family and how things, you know, sometimes stay the same. I thought he had really interesting perspectives on this album, which is why I will put it at 2. I look forward to what he has to come, as you said earlier.
Most definitely. Too high, but go ahead.
No, number 2 is right there on pad. Would have been number 1 had it not been for Mr. Taylor.
Mm.
And this number 2 is nuts.
When we're talking about number 1, we're talking about, to me, the person who gave a fuck the most. I think it speaks to the year in rap as well when The Game is able, to me, have the best rap album of the year. I think Born to Rap is, from beginning to end, is well put together. The transitions, the skits, the subject matters, you said it well when you said it's hard to keep someone entertained for an hour and 30 minutes, especially in 2019 in the microwave generation, especially when you're not a Drake, when you're not someone that can switch it up and have the melodic flows, when you just on the rapping and you rapping your ass off and you touching enough subjects to make me want to come back again, listen to this song again, quote these bars, and just what he put into this album, I feel like, if he wasn't such a doof, like I said in our review for it, people would pay a lot more attention to this and would change him as far as their rankings in history. But number one album, I would say Game, Born to Rap.
Yeah, I can respect it. Number three, this is going to sound wild. I'm going Jim Jones, El Capo. Mm-hmm. Album is fire. Yes, and again, who would have thunk it 2 years in a row? He's got a top 10 album. It's just nuts. Wasted Talent last year.
Top 10 for me, but.
Well, I mean, but generally speaking, I've heard a lot of people talk highly of that Jim Jones, especially people of our ilk that grew up on Dipset. It's very reminiscent. I'm proud of Jim Jones. I'm proud of Heatmakers. They still got it. They laced him with the production, and they didn't go to that sped up Chipmunk Soul sample well too many times. They actually had some diverse production on there. Shout out to Heatmakers. If you would have told me this 5 years ago, Heatmakers and Jim Jones were putting out a project, I wouldn't have even thought to listen to it. This album actually came out while I was on vacation. And have you ever been somewhere where you listen to something and you're not sure if the album is that good or if it's because of the setting that you're in? I was on a train from Milan to Switzerland, and I forgot that this album, it's light work, and I forgot this album came out, and so I was like, oh shit, that Jimmy out, let me check that out, fuck it, I ain't got nothing else to do. And I'm looking out the window and Swiss Alps and shit looking crazy, and I'm listening to this album, I'm like, damn, this shit is fire. Like, am I tripping or is it like just because of what I'm looking at? Because that could change your whole perspective. And I said, man, let me run this back when I get back to boring shit. And I did. I was like, nah, this shit go hard. Shout out to Jimmy. Hey, listen, he kept it simple. Did him. Stay off the phone, man. You got your phone tapped and shit, though. Stop doing that shit. We don't need no more of that bullshit. But shout out to Jimmy at number three. Number two, this was my number one up until about 2 or 3 weeks ago, man. Gangsta Gibbs, Bandana album, him and Madlib. The follow-up to their OG joint in 2014. A lot of expectations, a lot of coming soons, a lot of delays. This shit lived up to the hype and then some. This Bandana album is nuts. This is the Freddie Gibbs album that you will play for somebody who's not familiar with him. And so not only did he gain new fans, but he also satisfied his core base, which are people like me. I'm mad I missed the show when he came down here. I'm hot at myself for that. But this Bandana album is nuts. And numero uno, coming through in the fourth quarter, Jaycion Taylor, the Game Born to Rap album is fucking fire. If this is truly his last album, this is what you would aspire to go out on.
That's a fact.
This nigga album is nuts. Like, I've been listening to this ever since it came out. I find a new favorite song every time I listen. This nigga even rejuvenated Yo Boy Dom Kennedy, and his career is dead in the water.
No, it's Daytona. Not.
So if you can bring back Dom Kennedy and make him sound relevant in 2019, you're doing God's work.
No, Dom helped him with his album. That's why it's fire.
$500 candles.
That shit fire. I find a new favorite song every time I listen to it. That shit is phenomenal. This year, well, I'll talk about this year in a little bit, but what's your 3, 2, and 1?
My third album of the year is El Capo himself, Jim Jones.
Jimmy.
Like you said, unlike you guys, I was not high on last year's album. So this album completely smacked me in the face with joy. When I heard this, I was like, oh, this is a throwback of the sound that I like, and he's really rapping. And
to the best of his ability.
To the best of his ability. We couldn't say that about Jim. For a long time, it was, if you would ask me, like, if Cameron was easily the best.
Clearly.
Out of Dipset.
Then it was Juelz.
Yeah.
I got Juelz fucked up.
Well, you could argue. It was a moment where Juelz was hot. You could argue he was better.
Yeah, so it was, this album was everything. It was, you know, production-wise, lyrics, how they set it up. And again, it's a long album, but it doesn't feel that long.
Agreed.
And NYC with Fat Joe, I love. For some reason, I don't know why they took it off Tidal, but.
Team Apple Music.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely love that album. My second album is The Dream.
Damn, that was just three? Come on. Yeah.
This man took forever with it. My second album is a Dreamville Collective collaboration album. This album is something that I believe rap needed. the way they put it together, you don't hear many successful collaboration albums. The rollout was fantastic for this album. I mean, the marketing, everything was great, to the execution, how they ended the album, how they started the album, in between with Ari giving love to all these. J. Cole got artists their first platinum plaque, and he's about to get a lot of artists their first Grammy.
Yeah.
That tells you everything you need to know about Jermaine Cole, when you ever, not only to catapult your career, but you can let people climb on your back and you take them to the promised land. So that's why this is number two on my list. Dream is just a great album all around, and the results of it makes it high on my list.
No doubt. Numero uno.
Freddie Gibbs, Bandana.
Album of the Year tour.
Album of the Year. The production along with the lyrical assassination that he did on this album is phenomenal. I mean, Madlib, I love the first album with him and Madlib's. I didn't think they could outdo the first album.
Nope.
But boy, I stand corrected. Okay. This album is fantastic. If you love rap, this is the album for you.
He's a rapper's rapper.
Yeah, he's a rapper's rapper. You can't convince me otherwise that this is not the best album of the year. And there you have it.
This year was interesting. We didn't have a lot of big dogs drop. Drake.
The biggest, I think none of them were. The biggest people of the year weren't on our list.
That's what I'm saying.
DaBaby or Megan. I
mean, oh, you mean like kind of like the hot?
Their projects, the hot people.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. Because when we have a discussion next week about Person of the Year, I'm sure their names may come up.
Okay.
But this year didn't have a lot of A-listers. You know what I'm saying? Drake dropped, but it was some Lucy's. You know what I mean? It was the compilation joint, the care package. Kanye dropped, but it wasn't what people asked for. You know what I'm saying? He stepped outside of the hip-hop box and went gospel.
Nobody wanna hear this shit.
And then there was no Jay. There was no Kendrick. There was no solo Cole. So there was a lot of A-listers. And you mentioned the Dreamville album up for a Grammy nomination.
Yeah.
All of the Grammy nominations for Rap Album of the Year, all of them are first time. Whoever wins, it'll be their first. And again, that's a testament to who didn't drop this year.
Yeah.
Because typically you'd have the normal people.
This year, and I think part of the Person of the Year conversation for me, I think one of the reasons why is attributing to who the Person of the Year was. One of the things that I noticed, though, about the list, New York, Atlanta, New York, Cali, North Carolina, Gary, Indiana, New York.
What list is this?
North Carolina. North Carolina. Cali.
Yeah.
It's a lot of talent in North Carolina as far as where these people were from.
Oh, okay. Yeah, came out.
A lot of talent as far as people that say New York is dead, or they say that a certain place runs hip hop. I think it speaks to like the variety of things that you're able to get in hip hop and enjoy now, and where these people are from, and how the sound has kind of been merged.
Absolutely.
It's not as distinct as it used to be when you go from place to place.
That's a fact. No, it is. The lines are blurred, for sure. Man, that's our list. We need y'all to go to Facebook in the rap chat and give us your top 10 list, top 10 albums of 2019. Overall, what would you grade? You got a letter grade for 2019 musically, because we know 2017, 2018 was pretty heavy. It was some good records that came out. Where you at on this? Is average, above average?
C minus.
Wow.
Sheesh.
Also, go to the YouTube and leave your list on the YouTube comments page as well.
Absolutely.
Look at the video. Yeah. But yeah, I say C minus, man. This was a very average to below average year. And it's hard to follow up a year like 2018 that we had, especially when you have guys that made a big of an impact that they did. You don't have to come right back.
That's true.
When you're a big dog artist. And I think we've seen the effects of that.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, first I want to give a shout out to my honorable mentions. The YBN Cordae album was my honorable. The Maxo Cream, Brandon Banks album was my honorable.
That should go hard.
And Port of Miami 2 was on my honorable.
That's my boy, and I ain't even have him on here.
Yeah. So those are my honorable mentions. I give this year a B. I think just because we didn't have large artists drop doesn't mean it takes away from the amount of significant good music. For me, as a fan, it was plenty of music that I thoroughly enjoyed. And I'm kind of happy that a lot of artists who are at a big commercial level didn't overshadow the new artists and up-and-coming artists that I wanted to hear from.
Yeah, I'd give this a C+, slightly above average. You know, you ever watch, for my basketball fans out there, when you see a team shoot super hot the night before, they can't miss, or maybe two nights before, you know what's about to happen on the next game. The law of averages is going to balance out. You're going to have an off night. Coming up very soon, you just can't stay on fire your whole fucking season. This is what hip-hop did. To me, this was a little bit of an off year to balance out the last two. I do think it's going to be back pretty heavy next year. We've got a lot of people that sat out that's coming with heat, particularly Big Dogs, Cole, Kendrick, Big Sean. I think Drake will be back out. So it's going to be much more top-heavy with, you know, the A-listers and the high B-listers next year. But I like making room for some of these cats. Boogie, Rhapsody, St. John, Benny, like, these aren't necessarily household names like that. But you leave room for them to shine, too. So it's all good. I give it slightly above average. Music picks, what you got?
So let's start with last week. We mentioned Fat Joe and Dre with Family Ties. We mentioned my personal favorite from last week, which is Roddy Ricch, Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial.
That album is fire, though. Yes. I'm not going to lie. It's dope.
Yes. And you, well, we get to that. And French Montana came out with Montana. Skip.
It's one of the worst albums I've heard this year.
Max B with House
it's
Money.
Right. Now, hold on.
I 1,000,000% believe that.
That French is
there's
trash.
Bone in my body that would dispute that.
Yeah, woo! I'm really surprised French Montana's longevity in rap. He cannot rap.
It's over with now, though.
He had hell of a run for his lack of talent.
That's true.
Q Money, How You Gonna Hate. Slum Village came out with Money. Fantastic 2020.
I thought he was locked up.
Zarface, which is Ghostface and Zarface, The Odds, Zara Against Us.
Skip Against Us.
Yeah. So
C-Z-A-R.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for coming up the next week and week or so is Ja Rule with 12.
Wow.
Stormzy, the rapper from London, United Kingdom, Heavy Is the Head. Shout out to T.I.
Skip.
Clearly the labels have taken off for the holiday.
Yeah. Obviously.
And Cameron Purple Haze 2.
That ain't coming out.
It's I'm not looking out. Forward to that. Now, he got like a little documentary or something. He pumping that strong.
Oh, it's coming out.
Yeah.
I must have finished that before the holidays.
But yeah, you mentioned the Roddy and Fat.
Yeah, I was real quick. I thought it was interesting that we had a relative rookie with Roddy and then a veteran like Fat Joe coming at the same weekend. And I thought they put two solid projects together. I was going to say which one y'all think was better, but to me, they even.
Skip.
Even. Skip who?
Both.
Really?
What? Yes.
I like that Roddy, though.
No, that Roddy is definitely car whip music.
And I thought it was going to get on my nerves the first two or three songs. Like, I don't know if I can ride for this a whole project. But he does enough with his voice. He does enough with his flow to differentiate himself. And it actually gets stronger
as
toward the
over.
End. I thought the last four or five songs was super dope.
Yeah, he really, they really worked on structuring songs for Roddy Ricch. I like especially how he ended the project. It was fantastic.
Them last four or five banging on there. Real quick, On Decker of the Week, shout out to Facebook, Elgin Oliver. He said Animal Brown and Spike Lee got a show idea for y'all. Y'all favorite Wayne versus when he was on fire and killing everything.
We did that, didn't
we? We did a mixtape Wayne episode.
The verse episode is kind of.
Damn, was that the verses, though? You know what?
I think we might have did that. Check that catalog, cuz.
Elgin, check that catalog, big dog. We did a mixtape Wayne episode. Just Google mixtape Wayne on Deck TV. I think that is when we went through our favorite verses. But please keep the ideas coming. We appreciate that. Go to iTunes, leave a comment, rate, and subscribe. Go to youtube.com/ondecktvpodcast. What y'all got on deck for this weekend?
I'm going to see LeBron James.
Uh-oh.
When he comes down here this week. Check out the Lakers. I want to see AD put up 50 on you guys.
30-point blowout. Right. Easy.
I just want to see Trae Young and LeBron James do their things. That's what I got up. What you got up this weekend?
Man, I ain't doing much of nothing. I will be in Nashville. I'm mad because it's supposed to snow and rain the entire time I'll be there. So that sucks.
Good old Nashville.
But shout out to Cashville, man. 615. What you got on deck?
Actually have a couple of things going on Friday. I'll be going to Spencer Charles' birthday. Saturday, my brother's going away. He's going back to D.C., so he's having a going away get together.
Dope.
That's keeping me busy throughout the weekend.
There it is, man. Wait,
hey. Who is Spencer Charles?
He's a photographer, the one I told you about when I went to that.
He go by his whole name.
That's what he calls his photographer.
I thought he just blazed his gun.
Best photographer in Atlanta.
No, I'm just like, when you tell your friend, you're like, hey, where you headed to? When you tell your friends Saturday, they'd be like, hey, where you headed to? You say, I'm headed to Spencer Charles' birthday party.
Yeah.
Or do you say, I'm just going up to Spencer's?
I mean, I don't know. I don't say anything.
Fuck.
I don't think you make it. You make
Spencer
it more.
Spencer Charles' birthday
party.
That's
his name. What you want me to say?
Spencer, nigga. I brought him to Spencer's party.
No. Young Spence.
Yeah, that's like, I mean,
go by, know
I
Spencer
go by
Charles.
What people, what they want to be called, man.
Fair
I
enough,
I don't
man.
Disrespect.
Shout out to M Extra Blazing niggas government names out here. Checking for a wire. Yeah. Hey, man, we'll see y'all next week. We're doing the Person of the Year episode. You're not going to want to miss it. Yeah, holla at your boy, Cole. Man. We out.
Oh, man. We out.
It won't be Jermaine Cole.
He's my person.
Good morning. Oh, and in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.